We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Let's start with the Chicago Bears, and let me show you this graph, and I'm going to rank them this way. Why is the Bears a good situation, a good fit for Russell Wilson? This is a guy who wants to win. I've never been around a better competitor. He wants to win, and he wants to win in style. The Chicago Bears allow you to do that. I was there for 3 years. Amazing place. If you win there, you're iconic. This is an iconic franchise. They sit right there at the top in all the sports, as far as probably top 10 in brands. So you want to go there, and you got a good defense, and they're going to give you the keys. And I know they have already discussed this internally of what they can give up and what they're willing to do for Russell for him to be comfortable.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
That was Brandon Marshall, ex-teammate of Russell Wilson. Fox Sports 1, First Things First. Current teammate with my good friend Nick Ray. And he has been talking to Russell Wilson and saying for weeks and weeks, he's not happy, he's not happy, he's not happy. Of course, Brandon Marshall, also an ex-Bear, and he laid out the case for Chicago and Russell Wilson. And I got to say, it's a weird listen. It hits your ear in a funny way to hear a prominent ex-NFLer campaign for a top five quarterback to voluntarily force his way to Chicago.
And how did he get there? How convoluted did it have to get? And Brandon has been open about his borderline personality disorder, is an interesting linear thinker to begin with, or non-linear thinker at times.
Yeah, I mean, Tanny, do we have more of that, or is that the entirety of the Brandon Marshall that we have? I apologize.
There's no way to know. There's no
that was basically the, okay. So just the idea that is happening, man, is such a weird thing, because this was the quote in Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback column today. All right, he writes, as for the Bears, I think there are three things at play. Chicago tight end Jimmy Graham is a good friend of Wilson's, and he's told him good things about the team and the city. Wilson loves the sporting zeal of the city, the love for the Cubs, love for the Bears, and might look at it like, Chicago hasn't had a lot of great quarterbacks, and I could be one. Maybe I could be the missing piece, and how crazy would Chicago go if the Bears ever got great again? And I think he loves the city. So,
can I hold on a second?
Yeah,
last Thursday, I believe it was, when the Russell Wilson news was kind of breaking, the Athletic piece, and before we talked about it. But then when we talked about it, we tried to figure out why Chicago, and you were kind of grabbing whatever you could find and throwing it blindly at the wall. Do you remember that portion of the radio show? And there was a moment.
Afternoons 2-6 on the Score. Yeah, I remember.
One of the things you threw at the wall and asked me to look at it and see, is this art, by the way, that I just threw this at the wall, was, is it possible that Russell Wilson is looking at the quarterback starvation of the Chicago Bears and thinking, I will be the guy. Like, I will do that. And I'm like, I guess it's possible. Isn't that exactly what Peter King just wrote right there, by the way?
He's a big fan of the show. He's a huge fan. Always has been, always will be. It's why he's never been on. I read the Athletic piece, and he mentioned Montana and Breeze and Brady and legacy.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, maybe he thinks Chicago would be a cool place for his legacy as a student of history of the game, because Chicago's never had a good quarterback, and so therefore he would instantly be the best quarterback in the history of the franchise, and it would mean more here, as opposed to you go to Dallas, you're compared to Staubach, Aikman, and Romo. You go to New Orleans, you're compared to Breeze, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like Peter King is basically doing what I'm doing with just way more authority behind him. But the Jimmy Graham nugget is interesting. And I feel like I need a disclaimer on all of this stuff. I do not think Seattle will trade Russell Wilson. I obviously would love him to be a Bear. I think if they do entertain offers for Russell Wilson, I don't think the Bears can make them the best offer. Therefore, I do not think Russell Wilson will be a Bear. But that disclaimer out of the way, how hilarious is the idea of Ryan Pace lucking in to Jimmy Graham as the recruiter for Russell Wilson? Like, the contract that nobody liked, where he bid against himself, where he gave him the no-trade clause. Where
no trade clause! One of eight guys in the league with the no-trade clause, Jimmy F. and Graham.
Guaranteed him the first-year salary, then drafted Cole Kmet when Russell Wilson was just perfectly happy in Seattle. If 1 year later, Russ gets traded to the Bears on his introductory press conference, he's like, I would have never been in Chicago if it wasn't for Jimmy Graham. Like, if that headline happens into the future, Ryan Pace will be like, I was playing 3D chess all along. Like, it would be the most blind luck backing into a superstar quarterback. And he'd have job security for the next 10 years. Well, Ryan Pace would be like the longest tenured GM in the history of the Bears because of the Jimmy Graham contract.
Well, even a blind squirrel finds a nut twice a day.
Yes.
Whenever the clock is correct.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, I don't think
even
it's going to...
Even a blind squirrel finds a nut twice a day.
That's right, Vince. And how we had an appearance from Vinny Goodwill last week on this show and didn't throw that back in his face again is beyond me. He's too big for us now.
Yeah, you're right.
Shoved in his face. Well, you seem to agree with one of the things I wanted to throw at you, which is that Deshaun Watson is far more likely to be traded than Russell Wilson. And I know that you and I had this discussion. You don't think Deshaun Watson is going to be traded, or at least as of a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, you still didn't think it was going to happen. I think it's going to happen. I absolutely do think it's going to happen because that ownership is idiotic and being led by a charlatan, and Deshaun continues to make things awkward for them. And will do so for the foreseeable future. I think that's going to happen.
I don't think it should happen. I don't think it should happen. I think they should call his bluff. And whether or not they do or not, I don't know. But the only time it makes any sense is on the first night of the draft. Because then you can trade that night's pick and three first-round picks into the future. So, in essence, four first-round picks. It's the only day on the league calendar you can trade four first-round picks. And I think he's worth more than three first-rounders. So, my caveat on this is the day of the draft is the most likely day for Deshaun Watson to be traded. And if he's not traded that day, I think that they're going to call his bluff.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's worth more than Russell Wilson because he's 25, man. Yeah. He's 25 years old.
Right. But I just think that situation is so much more of a mess.
It is.
Than the Seattle situation. And I appreciate some of the coverage that has broadened the scope on this stuff. You know what people really point to as the first, like, open issue with the Texans and the first guy to walk away? And usually we talk about DeAndre Hopkins and Laremy Tunsil and Bill O'Brien and the PR person Amy Palchik, I think was her name.
And
the president who walked away. There's so many. And then J.J. Watt, the best player in the history of the franchise, who decides to leave as well. But before all of that is Dwayne Brown, the 10-time Pro Bowl tackle. 10-time Pro Bowl tackle! Who was upset that Bob McNair said what he said about Colin Kaepernick and the anthem, and they promptly traded him to Seattle. A lot of people point to that as the beginning of this, the character rise and the pushback against a certain kind of outspoken player. And Deshaun Watson said nothing at the time, said, I'm just going to leave that one alone, when he was asked about Bob McNair, what Bob McNair had to say, because Dwayne Brown said something and they launched him. But whole thing is so dysfunctional and so deep-seated and so palpable and sort of tangible when you look at the timeline of stuff. That, to me, is a far worse situation, and that makes it Deshaun Watson, for me, far more likely to be traded than Russell Wilson.
I agree completely. Like, I wouldn't do it, but I absolutely think Deshaun is more likely to get traded, especially because, I mean, hey, man, like, I don't think that anyone would disagree with you Right? I think 100% of people would agree, because here's the difference. One person has formally requested a trade.
Yes.
The other hasn't. Right? I mean, Russell Wilson's agent is like doing it in a weird way and naming the teams, but he's like, we're not requesting a trade. Deshaun Watson is requesting a trade. So yes, Deshaun is more likely to be traded than Russell Wilson. I agree.
Okay. I also believe, for some of similar reasons, that Russell Wilson's unhappiness is built on far less than Deshaun Watson. I think Russell Wilson's unhappiness is, it's not flimsy, but it's just, he doesn't deserve to be this. I think it's pretty damn flimsy. Dude has been the highest paid player in the sport by that organization twice. They've done that twice for him, made him the highest paid player in the world, in the sport. Michael Sean Dugar from The Athletic, who we had on the other day, pointed this out, and I fact checked it. Obviously, he knows his stuff. They've drafted more offensive linemen than any team in football since 2012. They've tried to protect him. They've made big deals for Dwayne Brown. Jimmy Graham at the time seemed like a big deal. They've gone out of their way for others, drafted wide receivers for him, paid him very well, and had huge success, massive success. Russell Wilson's unhappiness is pretty flimsy as compared to Deshaun's.
Oh, I agree, man. Like this is the truth. My reaction to the Russell Wilson story was 100% informed by the excitement of him listing the Bears as one of the four teams that he wanted to go to, that I don't care how irrational it is. But if I was hosting a national show, I'd be like, dude, Russ, this is a pretty whack way to request a trade. Like, you've won a lot there. They are a good organization by basically any metric. They've treated you well. I'm all for athlete empowerment. So, like, if you're unhappy, you're unhappy, and you can do whatever the hell you want, and that's all well and good. But, yeah, man, of course. Like, if you're unhappy in Seattle with multiple trips deep into the playoffs, Super Bowl runs, NFC Championship games, a ring on your finger, the investment that they've made in you, there aren't many places that are going to treat you better. The thing is, though, like, having said all of that, again, one, I just want him to be a Bear, and so even though I don't think it's likely, the fact that the Bears were on the list, like, of course I'm excited about it. But two, man, he's basically saying, in not as many words, I want to throw more. Period. He wants his stats to reflect greatness. It's like a very weird heel turn. But he literally trademarked, let Russ cook. It's very Russell Westbrook going for the triple-double average.
It is.
You know what I mean? It's like things that we don't often associate with franchise quarterback, team leader, soft-spoken Russell Wilson. But let Russ cook is basically saying, I'd rather score 40 my way than 30 your way. And if we liked Russell Wilson, like if it was Baker Mayfield, he'd be labeled selfish.
Well,
right?
He probably should be. This is narcissism playing out here. And he's great. And we'd all want that seeming narcissist as the quarterback for our team. But this is some unseemly narcissism going on here.
But here's the other part of it, though, man, and maybe this is where you and I will disagree. I don't think he's wrong. I think it is crazy for Pete Carroll to react to back-to-back games with a high interception total and be like, I want to give the ball more to Chris Carson. I think it is crazy to look at the NFL right now and say, I want Russell Wilson in the middle of the pack for pass attempts in a season. That's lunacy. Like he's not wrong about wanting to let Russ cook and that being the best thing for the Seahawks and the modern NFL. And
because
all
the best teams pretty much have quarterbacks who cook.
Yes, absolutely. For the most part, right? Like year in and year out. And the Legion of Boom is not there in Seattle right now. Like their defense was the worst in the NFL through 12 weeks this year. Jamal Adams came back and got healthier, and they started to, you know, increase a little bit. But, like, that was a team that was built to win shootouts. So that's the thing. Like, They have treated him well. They've paid him well. They've invested in the offensive side of the ball. He's won. So compared to other NFL trade requests,
yeah,
it's pretty flimsy. It's pretty whack. But stylistically, football-wise, even if it's motivated by stats, I don't think he's wrong.
Like, fair.
I think that the majority of the NFL, if they were given Russell Wilson, would treat him like a Ferrari that he is. They would unleash him and not treat him like he's Mitch's Camry, mm-hmm. which is what Pete Carroll wants to do.
Yeah,
and so that's where I keep coming back to. Like, even if he's doing it in a weird way and Seattle must feel totally blindsided by this, purely X's and O's wise, I don't think Russell Wilson is wrong here.
Good stuff. This is why you're my rational
thought. Does
that make sense? Yeah, this is why you're my rational thought provider. You agreed with me on the ones that I was positing, and you took it further to talk about the strategy. And for the most part, I have to agree with you. Even though that I love and value a good running game and a good defense, and I do believe that a team structured like that can win to a point in the NFL, Seattle wasn't built like that. It made no sense. It made no sense for them to do what they did. One other thing real quick, and the Albert Breer piece does a really nice job scoping the entire story, which includes the reminders of how Russ had his butt kissed by Pete Carroll early on. There were different rules for Russ than there were for that defense in terms of team meetings, in terms of what was expected in the offseason, in terms of restrictions. Pete Carroll, in some ways, built this monster. He built this narcissistic monster himself by enabling and empowering Russ in a different, separate way, because the quarterback is special. Pete has himself to point to for blame in that situation.
Of course. And I think that Albert Breer piece, which I read as well, is partly Seattle getting out their side of the story more in a higher profile way in response to that Athletic story. And like, this is now a game of corporate PR, and they're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And Mac and I used to always get into this. Like, I don't feel like it needs to be said that I value a running game too. I value a defense too. It's just this NFL values a great passing game and quarterback more. And if you have Derrick Henry and your quarterback's Ryan Tannehill,
then you do it that way.
Do it that way. If you have Kyle Shanahan and your quarterback's Jimmy Garoppolo, then yeah. Run Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman and, like, be really creative schematically with all of your blocking and your George Kittle. Yeah, of course. But if you have Russell Wilson, let Russ cook, because he's closer to Pat Mahomes than he is to Ryan Tannehill. Like, he's one of those dudes. He mm-hmm. is the best deep ball in the NFL.
You suspect he's a Seahawk on week one?
Yeah. Yeah, because of this exact point, because this gap should be easier to bridge. They've made each other a lot of money. They've won a lot of games. This is a pure football difference that someone should be able to step in and be like, hey, guys, hold on a second here. Are we really that far apart? Russ, you want to throw it on first down a little bit more. Pete, you want him to cut down on the risky plays and not throw his offensive lineman under the bus. Can we agree to that? All right, cool. Let's move forward here. So, yeah, I think that Russ is 90-10 to be a Seahawk on opening day. Like, I think it's overwhelmingly likely. Whereas with Deshaun, I think it's much closer to 50-50.
Yeah. I'm going to have to line up my research projects here, things that I need to do. I think I need to go back to read my Why Mac Jones is a Fit for the Bears pieces that I have bookmarked. Yeah. I might need to read my Get to Know Trey Lance pieces that I have in a folder somewhere. As the Bears, right now it feels like they're steamrolling towards like the fourth quarterback in the first round of the NFL draft.
Yeah, I'll take the over. I'll say fifth or sixth. I'll say fifth or sixth quarterback for the Bears. You mentioned J.J. Watt. He signed in a weird way. I think I could build the case that actually should give Bears fans some optimism. We'll get into that, and then the new wrinkle on Cubs Sox bets that you can be involved with coming up at 5 on the Score.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a historic stadium. It's a historic franchise. I grew up playing hockey in the Chicago area, the northern suburbs, you know, Winnetka, Naperville, Rockford. I played hockey all over Chicago, so I'm very familiar with it. Obviously, like you said, having watched the Packers-Bears rivalry a ton growing up, and just knowing the history and tradition that is there, Mike Ditka and all the guys that have been through there before, Walter Payton. It's an incredible organization.
North Shore Winnetka frat boy.
Whoa. What a little sideswipe at me. What did I ever do? What did I ever do to you, Chris Tannehill?
I don't think people would have known that was about you unless you brought it up.
A little too much Parkins. A little too much Parkins for my taste.
Yeah. You know? A little too much Parkins.
I get it. I understand. Try living with him.
I'm good. Thank you.
It could be exhausting. Was that a smoothie that I just saw?
It is a smoothie. It is a smoothie.
Oh, absolutely. God. Here we go.
It's sweeping the nation, Shane. Smoothies.
This one, this is our standard that we do around these house with the remarkable Vitamix blender where you can just put anything in there.
It's incredible. All of a sudden,
it really is incredible.
What's your go-to recipe? I'm very interested.
Spinach, some cashews because it's vegan. I get a little creamy that way. Some almond milk or oat milk, bananas, little cinnamon, little ginger, little peanut butter.
There's no way to know.
Little lemon juice.
Delicious.
A couple of frozen berries maybe. It's absolutely delicious.
It's fantastic. I'm normally
Shane is disgusted. The hackles are rising on Shane right now. He's broiling inside like a bone-in ribeye right now at the very thought.
Well, it's just we're living very different lives because in my Ninja blender this weekend, I put in a Stella with some ice and lemon juice and made it's unbelievable.
Oh, that sounds great,
It's
actually.
Unreal. Yeah.
You made yourself a frozen Vice Stella.
Yep. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That sounds great. And Shane, I've told you, I want your problems. So we are living very different lives. I am very jealous of the problems that you sometimes will bring to the show.
I want his cholesterol levels.
Well, funny you should ask to say that because my cholesterol levels are not great. I've been eating a lot of vegetables lately, I'll tell you that.
Speaks, did you see, by the way, the steakhouse dinner that we had steakhouse dinner for lunch Fridays?
I saw a picture of it on the Twitters, yes. What the hell?
We had a lot of fun when you were gone.
Yeah, that's the thing. there was a lot of good times, and then I reconnect with you guys via text, and I sensed through the thread a feeling, a subtle feeling of, we better make Spiegs feel like we missed him, just a little, when in actuality...
Well, that's what we were talking about on the side, obviously.
In your side text.
In our side text, obviously, we were talking about, all right, guys, he's back. I mean, he signed a contract. He won't eat steak with us. He would have messed up the Tim Anderson interview. Browski, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
No, we didn't say any of that, except most of it. But, no, man, it was Shane
what'd
just
you
decided.
Have? You had steak, and there was, duck fat potatoes or something?
He brought in his cow. He made us some of his cow on Friday.
Wow.
Just lovely. So you guys know. It's not a person in my freezer. You know? Yeah. I did that just so you could see that.
It's true. It's true.
Sure.
It was delicious, man. I was there. I saw it.
That doesn't mean it's not a person.
And Speaks, I'd be happy to make you a vegan meat slab the next time you're in, as long as you stop calling Twitter the Twitters.
It's a simple request, really, that the under 40 crowd on the show has of the over 50 member of the show.
But it's not like I don't know how to use the Twitters or I'm unfamiliar with it. I know what it is. I know what it is. I'm drawing attention to the fact that the elderly have a hilarious relationship with social media that they often botch the terminology. I myself am not botching the terminology except with one level of added irony to show my wisdom, Shane.
Including yourself among the elderly also ironic? Or was that just truthful? Because I couldn't really tell.
what is the line? What's the line on elderly these days? 50 can't be the line.
You.
Oh, bastard.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Over 55 is elderly.
Oh, man. That is spoken like a guy who hasn't hit 30.
Well, that's 1 year above our demo. I don't care about those people.
There we go. That is some real honesty from the executive producer of this fine radio program. So
I care about you.
Oh, I care about everybody who listens and buys product. Yeah. 670thescore.threadless.com, Spiegel and Parkins. Parkins and Spiegel Collection.
Yes.
Darn it.
Yeah, we the best team in the American League.
It's right there. It's right there. The shirts are available for you. So J.J. Watt sends out a picture on what we'll call Twitter, what Spiegs would call the Twitter, of him working out in an Arizona Cardinals shirt, and he selects the team. And everybody thought that he was going to choose the team that gave him the best chance of winning. And he ended up choosing, I want to go play with my friend DeAndre Hopkins for the team that's going to give me the most money. And it doesn't mean that Arizona can't win, right? Maybe Kyler Murray takes a leap and him and Chandler Jones is about as good of a edge rushing duo as you could possibly imagine in the NFL. But the NFC West is tough with the Rams and the Seahawks. Cliff Kingsbury has not proven to be a great coach, and Kyler Murray has not proven that he's a top 10 quarterback yet. So it is absolutely a risk to go to that 500 team. But I was thinking, maybe, just maybe, if J.J. Watt can surprise people, then someone else can surprise people and choose the Bears. Now, obviously, he's a free agent, and so he got to choose it anyway. But J.J. Watt's decision to go to Arizona, I thought was legitimately surprising in NFL circles. Just like a quarterback engineering his way to the Bears would be legitimately surprising. So maybe there's hope. Damn it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that twisted pretzel logic? How about that?
That is, I would love to tell the Southland. That is, that is some mental gymnastics that you are taking part in right there, sir.
I told you, I am your rational thought provider, except for
franchise quarterback.
Franchise quarterback to the Bears. I will do anything to spin myself into believing that it's actually going to happen.
Oh God, no way. No, I don't see that. You know what? I immediately thought. Okay, DeAndre likes it there.
Yeah.
Told JJ about it. So now is Kyler Murray on the table for the Arizona Cardinals to send back to the Houston Texans in a Deshaun Watson trade? And if you are the Arizona Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals, would you part with Kyler Murray plus in order to get Deshaun Watson? And that answer is, of course, yes.
Yeah, that answer is, of course, yes. Complicated because of money. Like DeAndre Hopkins costs a lot, J.J. Watt costs a lot, Deshaun Watson costs a lot, Kyler Murray does not cost as much. So
right, that enables them to do a lot of these things.
Yeah, so that would be a very complicated thing to pull off, and I am not familiar with every inner working of the Arizona Cardinals salary cap, so I don't even know if that's possible. But love where your head's at. I don't know, man. He surprised the football world and went somewhere. But I also thought, do you think he will come out there and say it was about winning? Like, when he speaks on this, do you think he will say winning a Super Bowl was his top priority? Because I have a very hard time believing that a better team wasn't willing to pay him a little bit less money guaranteed.
No, to go there,
right? It'll be tough for J.J. Watt to say that his top priority is winning a Super Bowl when he chose Arizona.
Well, had he said that publicly and specifically before that?
You assumed
a level of ring chasing a la Carl Malone at the end or Gary Payton at the end or these kind of things.
And it's not necessarily at the end, but I mean, man, he just got $23 million guaranteed. He got more money guaranteed from Arizona than he was slated to make from Houston, and Houston outright released him instead of trading him. Yeah. So I guess I thought that they were doing him a favor and he was prepared to go sign cheaper somewhere. You were talking about Akeem Hicks versus J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt's going to make twice as much money as Akeem Hicks, basically, in terms of guaranteed money on the books. Yeah, it's a little bit of spread out over 2 years, but he's going to make way more money next year than Akeem Hicks is going to make next year. He signed for top dollar.
Sure, my takeaways to this are that, and he will probably say – I really liked everything about the organization. I liked the direction they're going. Wanted to be a part of something. DeAndre told me a lot of things, and they paid me very well.
And they could win. They're not bad.
Sure. Yeah, they don't. They're moving forward with an exciting young quarterback. You know,
definitely.
I get it, and he'll be able to pitch that. But boy, it does point back to that Houston Texans dysfunction, though. Too again. Because letting a guy go, just letting him go for absolutely nothing, and he gets more than how you had valued him on last year's salary cap, that is exposing even more the folly in that front office and making it even more likely that Deshaun Watson gets moved. But that's me as I confirm that. I'd use my takeaways to confirm what I believe as opposed to using takeaways to confirm what you believe, sir.
Sure. Fair enough, man. I don't know what to... All I know is when I saw it, I was genuinely surprised. And I thought that this one was going to be... He's going to a team that played on Championship Sunday last year.
Hmm.
Buffalo, Tampa, Green Bay. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I thought he was going to one of the best teams in the NFL to ring chase on a discount because he's got nine figures in the bank. But no. He went to a tier two, tier three team for what I have to imagine was the most money offered to him this offseason because it was a substantial raise in terms of guaranteed dollars for a dude coming off of a five-sack season. He had $23 million guaranteed coming off of a five-sack season. That's a hell of a contract for J.J. Watt. So,
fun division. It's a fun and interesting, wacky, uber-competitive division that we're talking about out there with some crazy quarterbacks that will be fun for him to chase and a very nice little desert lifestyle out there in the Southwest. So maybe
I'd say best division in the NFL, actually. I'll go as far as to say best division in the NFL.
At Seattle and the Rams and the 49ers. And
yeah, the worst team in the NFL – or in the worst team in the division is coached by Kyle Shanahan, who I'd say is a top five coach right now.
Yeah.
So it's a tough out, man. That is a tough out of a division with Sean McVay, the Rams defense, obviously Russell Wilson and whatever the hell's going on up there. And then Kyle Shanahan and the up and coming Arizona Cardinals with Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt and Patrick Peterson on defense and Isaiah Simmons. That is a monster.
And
of a division.
Hassan Reddick, was that the edge rusher who had some explosive games?
It's Parkins and Spiegel on the score. We got a way for you to be involved in the Parkins and Spiegel Cubs Sox bets. We'll talk a little baseball coming up with you at 5 o'clock. All right, Speaks. How was it? CPS schools are open. Ruben. Out of the house. Congratulations. You made it.
As we were headed over there close, I ran into a few different parents, and one guy came over and he said, "I've been waiting for this day for so long." Just like his level of excitement and expectation was through the roof. Mine a little bit mixed because I like having the dude around. I just went out there now. You see me every once in a while during a break. I'll get up and go out into the other room and talk to the boy. I feel like I haven't even seen him today. I haven't because he was at school.
Hey, he's at school. He was learning.
Yeah, how dare he? 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. But call me crazy. I think school's a good place for a kid. I think that's the right place for a lot of kids to go. He went to the school, and then he played a little bit in the on the playground thereafter. Safely, I'm told. My lovely wife, kind enough to go pick him up. But, yeah, he was dreading it, man. He was dreading it. He was not looking forward to it at all. And then as we drove closer, he started to see some kids that he knew. He's like, "Hey, hey!" He's opening the window and shouting out to them. So he got it wrapped around his head, and I think he had a good time. He said he'll go back tomorrow. Of course, he doesn't have a choice. But he will be going back tomorrow. So yes, exciting day, and I'm glad it came. Tanny, your girl, she doesn't go back. She didn't go back today, right? They're doing the pods thing with the CPS, so she goes back on Thursday.
That's right. Yeah, and today was a little nutty, like because they're on a different schedule. Like they have some kids in class, and some are still at home. So like I think you know, my daughter was off for most of the morning, but it was on and off at different times, so it created a little bit of chaos this morning in the home. But obviously very much looking forward to Thursday. You know, anyone who had younger kids, kindergarten, first grade, knows how difficult that it's been. Rewarding for sure, you know, having your child at home, like you said, Speaks, but you know, I think it's good that mine will be going back on Thursday because she certainly misses it. The in-person nature of it, seeing her friends, like, so I'm looking forward to it very much. My wife going back to work Thursday as well. They're on the same hybrid schedule, I guess. So, yeah, man, normal life is slowly pivoting back here, so it's fun.
Are you going to take a nap on Thursday, Tanny? What are you going to do with all your free time?
I mean, I don't know. Her dad lives with us now, so it's not like, you know, no empty house anymore. So I don't know.
That's right.
But she'll go back to leaving before, you know, pretty much before we wake up. She'll be on the train going to work, and it'll be, you know, daddy's responsibility to get my daughter off to school. So that'll be fun. I don't know what I'll do after that, to be honest with you. Like, I go for
the world is your oyster.
Her dad leaves quite a bit. He's, you know, in and out, you know, gets, he does like old man stuff, gets his coffee and things like that, has a little routine. So the second I'm alone in my home, I may just scream.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, at the top of my lungs, or, you know, I don't, yeah, it'll be fun. I have not thought, I'm only looking forward to the Cubs games, really. That's like really what I've zeroed in on. Like, give me to the first day game, and that's really what I know it's real.
Yeah, that will be some normalcy that can return here. But man, I am happy for you guys because school is necessary for parents and childcare and a functioning city and economy. And while it has been very challenging to become a first-time parent in a pandemic, and you worry about like your baby interacting with other babies, or at the beginning, like no one was really able to be around your baby, and that presented its own challenges in terms of doing it all yourself, and then you couldn't go anywhere to get away. He has no idea. Like this is just his normal, and he will not remember any of this. So I cannot. I don't know if it was harder at Tanny's kid's age or Smeegs' kid age or older. It probably presents challenges at all different ages, but I'm sure there's many people in our audience right now thrilled that their kids are either back or getting ready to go back to school.
Yeah, I'm sure that is the case. And it's like it's easy for them to apparently forget that it was the norm to go to school.
I bet.
You know, and he's being reminded of just what it actually is. But yeah, we are steamrolling towards John Lester's normalcy, it appears. And with that, with some of the reports that have been coming out there, Danny Parkins, that the Cubs are hoping to have some fans, at least a few, on opening day. Last week, when we put down the dates of the calendar, when we predicted that there would be fans in a ballpark in Chicago, I was the closest one to opening day. And I think I had May 15th.
You were middle of June.
Was that middle, middle of May? I think I had May 15th.
That's right.
I had May 15th as a hopeful. Then there was a June 15th, there was an August 15th, and a June 1st. My May 15th is looking pretty damn good at this point.
It is. I actually, I heard this morning from someone who is in the know in operations, person who's given me some scoops on tickets before, on scheduling before. I had some of that, the NFL schedule details.
Roger Bozard.
It was not Roger Bozard, but someone who's been very reliable for me on some sports operational things said that he is hearing that the Bulls and Blackhawks have a plan in place. Obviously, this is pending city approval, but that the United Center Bulls and Blackhawks are planning for hopeful for April. That assuming the city gives them the go-ahead, that 10 to 15% capacity for indoor Bulls and Blackhawks games could be coming to the United Center as soon as April. Yeah.
Wow. And then that might mean that same kind of limited capacity for playoff games for both the Bulls and potentially the Blackhawks as well.
Correct.
The Blackhawks are playing very well right now, Danny.
Yes,
they
are.
They're winning games. They're beating rivals while Patrick Kane scores milestone goals. And Patrick Kane the other day gave voice to some stuff that some people who actually follow the team and the sport have been wondering, that some of the veterans were following along with the Joel Quenneville plan, even after Joel Quenneville was gone and not allowing Jeremy Colleton to do what he wants to be done. And now with the absence of Brent Seabrook, and I don't know if it's the absence of Jonathan Toews, but I mean, Patrick Kane flat out said the other day that the players are allowing the structural plan to take hold and take place in a way that they were not last year. And, oh, by the way, they're playing much better and winning hockey games. It's interesting.
It's all coming together, man. We could have some – we had a playoffs, winter sports, basketball and hockey. Two teams that can't win a championship in all likelihood. I know it's wide open in hockey when you get in there and there can be some randomness. But, you know,
it's like, all right, let's get to the playoffs.
Exactly. No, but, you know, developmental years. Hawks' situation is weird, though. We've talked about this before. They're trying to get this, like, a new young core to catch up and be ready to contribute in meaningful ways before the old guys who have the non-movement clauses either completely fall off, right? Like, Kane, how many more years does he have of being dominant? Is it two? Then they got a real problem. Is it five? Well, then the young guys can probably get good enough where they can win again. So, like, they're in this, like, little in-between period with the old core and the young guys. And then the Bulls, this is all bonus. Like, if they actually make the playoffs this year with one of the youngest rosters in the NBA and Billy Donovan's first year when they haven't done anything to blow up or change anything that was left over, it's just a coaching change and adding Patrick Williams, that is ambidextrous gravy, to quote you. That is just purely bonus Bulls basketball of consequence.
Speaking of Bulls basketball, tonight, real good Denver Nuggets team, or at least a real talented Denver Nuggets team, get a chance to watch Michael Porter Jr., who they could have taken in the draft instead of Wendell Carter. Get also a chance to watch Jamal Murray, who's been explosive lately, leading that team in scoring consistently. And if you haven't watched a lot of Nikola Jokic, watch this guy as he can have a triple-double at any point, is a beautiful passer, is in the best shape of his life, and not just because it's around spring training time, but is a really beautiful European-style big man in terms of quality of play to watch that guy tonight.
Tanny's Open recaps the fun of the Tim Anderson conversation. We will get into that and then tell you how to be involved. Cubs Sox bets. Even if you're not a gambler, you can follow along here. This will be enjoyable. It's next. Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.